The rules and results of current immigration policy may be viewed through many lenses. The unfolding case of Alan Rodriguez is touching many in the community, including Veronica Razo, Alan Rodriguez's mother. She says since her son has been transported by federal immigration and customs enforcement personnel to Louisiana, she's been able to lean on family, friends, and supporters. But mostly, she says, she's leaning on faith.
That's the only thing I have right now, and a lot of support for the group. But, you know, it's just like, I feel like I tied up. You know, you cannot do much.
Veronica came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio last week, along with family friend Florencio Maderos. Florencio is also part of the group Equipo de Defensa, a group that advocates for immigration policy reform. When Veronica came to our studio last Wednesday, she told us she had been able to talk to her son briefly 2 days prior to our conversation.
He sounds like he's okay, because I know that he don't want me to worry too much. But he said, I'm going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. But, you know, still, even when he got caught, he told me, you know what, you don't have to pay anything for me. Just leave me here because I deserve it and all that. So, you know, I cannot do that.
She says the message he was spray painting in the park tunnel when he was arrested was, love yourself, Fayetteville. But Veronica says neither she nor her son make excuses for the initial action that started this ordeal. She says she taught all four of her sons that if you make a mistake or get in trouble, you have to accept the consequences. To that end, she says Alan paid restitution for the material damage done and charges were dropped. They hoped the matter would be over then. She says Alan's life in Northwest Arkansas began when she and her then husband moved to Springdale when Alan was about 1.5 years old. She says the family then moved to Fayetteville, and that's when her son began showing an interest in art.
When he was in Jefferson School, he always liked to, like, draw and something. And then we moved to a mobile home, and, you know, he started, like, painting my walls. And I just, the first time I said, nah, it's fine, you know. And then he's making one room, they make it this a big, big painting thing, and I said, okay, so I just put more, like, pictures on the top, and I don't worry about it. But since then, he said, I never put him, like, don't do that, because I was thinking, you know, sometimes they have to express or something.
Since the arrest last fall, and especially since Alan Rodriguez was taken by ICE from Washington County to Louisiana, Veronica says it's been difficult to communicate with her son.
He gave me a number. He called me for one number. 1-800 for over there. Mm-hmm. And then we call because we had to set up an account with him so we can deposit money so he can call me. And they don't give you much information. You know, say, well, you had to wait until he got in the system. And I said, but you already have him over there. Can you give me another number? Well, call to this number. If they don't help you, let me know. And I still, like, you know.
She says Alan had qualified for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, but his initial approval had expired. The Obama administration-era program allows for applications after a 2-year approval period ends. She says her son had reapplied, but she says now the family is in limbo. She says her ex-husband left about 12 years ago, and she's concerned that, worst-case scenario, Alan will be deported to a home he doesn't remember, a home from a time in his life before he was a toddler.
He needs to go to where my ex is, and he is not good. He's not good at all. That's the scary part for me, the most scary part right now, because it's not good.
For many arrested for felony criminal mischief who pay restitution and have charges dropped, the legal balance of the troubles are over then. But for people without documentation, there can be more. And agree or disagree with current immigration policy or a county's decision to participate in 287G, living without documentation in the United States has risks. Florencio Maderos, a family friend who accompanied Veronica to our studio for the interview last week, says he wants people to consider the bigger picture, that there are people who have come to the United States seeking protection from dangerous situations that he says have origins to U.S. policies toward countries in Central America.
U.S. foreign policy destabilizes the political and economic situation in a country that creates violence that creates stability. Honduras right now is one of the most dangerous countries. So through U.S. foreign policy and NAFTA did create hurt workers both in the U.S. and in Mexico. So those are the consequences of U.S. foreign policy. And we migrate to the U.S. because of those resources that from our home countries that are coming back to the U.S. So in a sense, we're following the resources and the wealth that's extracted from our home countries to come to the U.S. So those are the consequences here. And I think U.S. Policy needs to take that into account and allow the refugees, economic refugees, and refugees of violence to be able to have an easy process to be able to come here.
Florencio and Veronica say it's difficult for people who don't live without documentation to understand the challenges such a life can present, from driving to working. But Veronica says despite those challenges, Fayetteville and Northwest Arkansas are home for her. And she says she hopes again soon for her son. She says she's like many people here. She doesn't want to leave. But she says it can be at times an uneasy existence.
It's very scary for many people, like Hispanic ones. And another people says, you know, why we had to stay here when all this is happening. And for me, I just say, you know what? Sometimes I prefer to stay here, scared, than go back to where I'm from. I don't even want to go back if I die. I want to stay here.
Veronica Rosso and Florencio Madero spoke with us at the Carver Center for Public Radio last week. This is Ozarks at Large.